happens when you think about what we did last week when we had, for example, Whitney Houston, effectively her death was announced, 27 minutes ahead of the mainstream media on Twitter. And that's meaningless. It's irrelevant because I know from what we're doing now, it's what we hope is the first social media news agency, the first social news agency. I misspelled that earlier on. I have to be a bit careful how much we do for truth on the web. But essentially what we are doing now is looking at that statistic and saying to ourselves it's meaningless who is first, because Twitter is always first. Twitter will always break the news. It's never a question of how quickly it breaks it compared to the mainstream media. There's other questions that are far more important. Truth, authenticity, verification. Who is the person who's speaking about that death? And now journalists are start saying to themselves, it's not about being first, it's about being right. And it's about seeking out partners who will help us verify and sort the news from the noise. And that's hopefully what we're doing. So there's a challenge. On the one hand, it's a journalistic challenge. Just to give you an example of how we work, because a lot of this is in private, we work on our own platform, Storyful Pro, which is a premium product, which is not apparent when you see storyful.com. And what it does, we also work on Twitter itself, and what we essentially do is we work with these companies at the moment. So these are our clients. As you can see, some pretty big names in there. And what we effectively work as is a social news wire for these news organizations. So for example,
YouTube,
we curate their platform,
Radio
60
4,
hours of video uploaded on YouTube every single minute. How do you raise the authentic voice to a higher
New York
standard?
Times,
with people like
to name some of the brands he's worked with.
Streams, which are developed for their iPad apps for the election. with ABC News Australia, they're probably one of the most progressive social media newsrooms in the world. People would not know that. The same for France 24. Channel 4 News, for example, last for Christmas, we helped them with a documentary about Assad's execution machine. We actually came back with all the videos they were sending us to try to verify them and bring them to a journalistic standard. So that's what we do for these people, sometimes in private mainly. But we're also talking about the concept very much of an open newsroom. And what we mean by that is we want to do things in public. We want to be out there with our clients, helping them verify in real time. So if a bomb goes off and the target is where you did last, we want to go out there and get the authentic video, the valuable stuff. We want to get the contacts, the context. We want to be the first, and sometimes this is what we're proud of most, is debunking a rumor that's going around on Twitter. And the other thing is that Twitter is a great way to spread a hoax, but there's never been a better fact-checking mechanism in the history of news. As long as you go openly out there and you seek the help of other journalists like yourself. And so what we find is we use Twitter not just as a news wire, but as a way of sharing intelligence with other journalists. So, for example, this is David Clinch, our editorial director, who is sharing with the Reuters bureau chief in Beirut some of the latest contacts for citizen journalists in Homs. All this being coordinated from Dublin by our teams, our editorial teams. Today, for example, this is just something I picked up from the lads. This is Larry McKee, who's a good friend of ours, and many of you will know her, pointing at a journalist from Homs a video from Homs of a journalist who is pleading to be taken out of Syria. Anthony DeRosa, social media editor of Reuters in New York, says, I saw that on Storyful, liar comes back, beaten by the machine. Now, for us, in some ways it is kind of a bit inappropriate to be making a joke about this thing, but what's interesting there is this notion about the machine. And this is where I'm going to hand over to the team, because we have this combination of human intelligence will always be our selling point. But at the same time, we're at a point now we can't move forward without the kind of the genius of the guys here as journalists, because we talk about a human algorithm. And that is the idea of a community that emerges. We think, essentially, this is the heart of our philosophy, that every news event creates a community on the social web. So if something happens and someone sees it, they share it with 3 people, with 4 people, with 5 people. Very suddenly someone comes in who's a gatekeeper, who helps verify that event. And suddenly you get hundreds of people. So what we have to do as this news agency is work out ways to map that community, to engage with it. And in that process, there will be things like authenticity cannot be judged by a machine. Respect of the community cannot be judged by an algorithm. But there's so much else that can actually be judged with the help of technology. And so we are trying to develop this combination. We're at a turning point right now. Massive opportunities for us, I think, at this moment in time, but huge challenges. And if I could just invite And again, I think one of the things that I love about working with Storyful is that every time I look at the guys there, I know they can get a better job somewhere else in terms of, you know, pay and conditions and probably better TV. But I mean, essentially, they've chosen to work for Storyful because really, in many ways, it is it's a mission for us. And I think one of the people who's given me most inspiration on the technology side is looking at Gavin here. It's Paul Watson. You going to do the other one? Well, one of the people who's most inspirational. We have Paul Watson here, our CTO. We also have beside him Gavin Sheridan, who many of you will know for several years, who is our innovation director. And Gavin, I think, is one of the people who's on the cutting edge, not just in Ireland, but also, I think, internationally, as you said, in terms of how does news adapt to this new, incredibly exciting world. So, Gavin, can I ask you, first of all, I'm going to leave this up here for you to yammer on.
So I'm going to talk a little bit for a moment just about the day-to-day work of trying to monitor 250, 300 million tweets a day for news. So how do you start from scratch and go, I'm going to monitor everything? Because we are a global news agency. We have to monitor as many things that are going on in the world right now and get as quickly from something happening all the way down to the person who either witnessed it or other people who are acting as gatekeepers within a news event. So to do that, obviously, we're using to a large degree, semi-automated or manual methods. I mean, a lot of it is to do with pre-populating authorities and using Twitter lists to a very large degree. So we're big fans of Tweet that we use an awful lot of monitoring on Twitter, not just for what people say, but also the content that they share, the links that they put out. And we're really going through very simple processes sometimes, and we're moving into automating a lot of what we're doing. So I'm going to see about that for a second. Essentially, you all know when you look at someone's Twitter profile, everybody kind of, if you look at someone's Twitter profile for the first time, you're trying to assess kind of a judgment. So you look at their follower count, you look at their follow count, you look at their listed count, you look at how many tweets they have. So you're making a few judgment calls. So what we often are doing in breaking news situations or in ongoing news situations is we're vetting people to some degree. So we're saying, we think that guy is the real deal. We think he's close to what's going on. He may have geotagged a tweet. He may have a history of photographs in the same location. So what we end up doing is building aggregated lists and ways of monitoring locations and topics simultaneously in real time for as much of the world as we can. And one of the research that we're doing at the moment is how do you make that process easier for a journalist? How do you make it easier to monitor large amounts of accounts at the same time? And one of the methods we're looking at is how do you build lists really quickly? So, for example, if a bomb explodes in a certain, and it's a good example because it's something that's very instantaneous, and it ripples out within social media very quickly when an event is ongoing, it happens right there. I, as a journalist, I need to find people who have witnessed it, I need to find people who have taken photographs of it, people who have taken videos of it, very, very quickly. I also need phone numbers, I also need Skype handles, I need to identify people really quickly. But if there's just different ways of approaching it, you can, on the first hand, have a pre-populated list, let's say for location, and you can say, I'm going to check these people first. But how do you build lists really quickly, number one, and number two, how do you build lists generally? And one of the ways we're looking at that is how do you analyze the social relationships of a set of people? So if you seed 15 people in and you say, okay, here's 15 people, give me 50 I should know about on the basis of the social relationships of those people. And then give me the nodes within that network of analyzers. We spend all our time looking at information coming in. So we really like one of these stuff. And I think I'll pass over to Paul and say that one of the problems we're running into is the REST API. Some of the problems is trying to, you know, identify this community that's being created. We want to analyze it. We want to understand it. We want to who are the go-to people right now. We want to find their phone numbers as quickly as possible. We want to contact them while the event is still going, maybe just after it's happened. We want to pass on all that information to news organizations. And I'll help Paul with that.
Good to hear.
Thanks, Gavin. So my job is to build an exoskeleton for journalists. To augment what they already do to make them more efficient, to make them better at what they do. I think what what he was talking about was doing simple things very well. It's about to look for the emergent behavior and make it better, make it faster, make it more efficient, cut out the noise quickly. Don't go for these deep AI-driven type of pie-in-the-sky kind of solutions. Start with the low-hanging fruit and you start working your way up from that. And Twitter, in a way, is exactly that. It's a stream of low-hanging fruit within this vast orchard. And my job is to allow the journalists to go into this orchard and pick it up, to figure out the right fruit from the bad fruit, from the not quite right fruit. And to do that, you need a lot of tools. When you work with Twitter, what you find is it's part of a web. It's very different from Facebook. It's very different from quite a few other startups which want, as Hannah again said, want to own the experience, want to own from end to end. Twitter is a connector. So 140 characters, you can have people in it with the at symbols, you can have hashtags, which are just keywords, you can have links, and links are very powerful. So you've got links off to YouTube, you've got links back to Facebook, you've got links back to Instagram. Instagram drives tweets into Twitter's ecosystem. You've got this whole, it's amazing. It's like a cloud. It is the cloud. It's like the messaging system of the internet with humans driving. There are quite a few automated systems, bots out there, but the majority are still very sound, authentic humans on the other end. And it's the people doing live streams from Syria, you know, where you see some pretty bad stuff, but these people tweet it out. They put it out there into the ether, into the cloud, and we listen. We find it, and then we amplify it. And so I guess my job is to find all the tools and build all these kinds of systems. It's kind of like Microsoft Dev versus Unix Dev, and Unix, you're piping things together, and that's where Twitter really comes together as a messaging system on the web. So what are some of the tools we use? What are some of the things we do that help these guys do their job better and not change the core fundamental of journalism? Dataset is brilliant. Like, Dataset is where it takes 300 million tweets a day, it records every single one, and it gives you a DSL that you can query those tweets in real time with a very nice streaming API. You can run all sorts of checks through it, all sorts of simple filters that build up into a much bigger filter that makes a lot of sense. But what one tool we don't have is a data sift for the REST API. So the streaming API gets a lot of attention. It's what Twitter kind of promotes a lot, is the streaming API. They push it out to you and say, use it like this. The REST API, it's got documentation that's used quite a bit, but you run into a lot of REST API limits. So you get 200 calls an hour, you run into that within minutes. And so one of the challenges I think we need as a community for Twitter developers is to start looking at how we can build the data set of the REST API. So we can actually pay and say, we want more access to the Twitter's REST API. So that's one of the challenges I would say we need to look at. And anybody who uses the Twitter REST API will run into this pretty quickly. Other things is GNIP. GNIP is really good at if you have a very simple use case for the stream. Dataset is a really good DSL. GNIP is I want to follow this. It's beyond the limits that Twitter gives you for free, but I've got the money and I'm going to get that. So GNIP is a really good tool in that case. Embedly, I would recommend Embedly a lot because it supports something like 100 different websites. You give it a URL, it'll return metadata for that URL. So many tweets have URLs in them. You want to make sense of tweets, you want to get the videos out of them, you want to get the Instagram pictures, the Y product, the Twitter pics, all these kinds of things. Use Embedly to actually get more value out of each tweet. One of the interesting things coming out of GNIP and Dataset is also history access. So at the moment, if you're using the Twitter Stream API, it's the here and now. If you've missed a tweet, if your connection goes down for a split second, you lose thousands of tweets. There's no way to get it back from Twitter, but you can get it from GNIP. You can go back 30 days in GNIP, and I think Dataset are going to offer almost up to 2 years. They're going to be offering access to 2 years worth of Twitter data, which is going to be a massive amount. But where this is useful is in a case of we can't, with the Whitney Houston tweet or there's a bomb in Afghanistan, we don't know those events that happen until they've happened. So we don't know the keywords to always be looking out for, we don't know the locations to be looking out for, but we need to be very rapid in our ability to go, something's happened in this area, who do we follow? We find those people, we find the tweets. We need to go back an hour, not 30 days, not 2 years, but just an hour just to get that. How did it develop and break on Twitter? So these historical data tools are coming out as well, and they're very interesting. You should definitely have a look at those. Bringing it all together, I think I've done a really good job there. It's used. There's a lot of good tools up there. MongoDB is obviously just a great way of storing tweets. Store them as JSON. They're JSON objects. You can query them any way you want. The Storm AN sort of platform or library from Twitter is a very powerful platform. It's sort of Hadoop for real time streams. So if you ever used Hadoop or any of these kind of tools for ad hoc analysis or post hoc analysis on large data sets, you can take Storm and take your learnings from Hadoop and apply it to a real time stream of data coming out of Twitter. And then I just want to speak a little bit about how, once again, Twitter is the jumping off point for the web. everything of significance is happening on Twitter in a way. So if there's a YouTube video uploaded that's of significance or worth, we'll find it has been somewhere on Twitter. Someone's tweeted about it, someone's talked about it. You can use those URLs to find it. And this leads us into the YouTube ecosystem, which plays, even though Google and Twitter may not be the best of friends at times, YouTube and Twitter are great partners for Deja. And you should definitely explore them more. I think that's really it. I just, you know, it's exciting. And if anybody is interested in using the API, the REST API, the Streamy API, stream it all together, talk to us. We're very interested in other developers who are working on these sorts of things. And yeah, thank you very much.